And we thought it was all over. She had taken the engagement ring and thrown it in a vacant lot across the street. And, oh, what a hot temper she had. And, it was all over. But the next day, there was a note in my mailbox. Dear Jack, entreat me not to leave thee, for to turn from following after thee. For whither thou goest, will I go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Oh, that's a proposal. Thy people shall be my people. Well, Ruth said that, and Ruth and Naomi go to Bethlehem. Ruth, for the first time, Naomi's going back home. But Naomi changed. You listen to me. Sin always changes people for the bad. Always does. The best beauty course in this world is a clean life. It'll beat Mary Kay 10-1. Though some of you should use a bit of Mary Kay, I think. But she came back, and people said, "Is this Naomi?" Because sin had left its mark. There's nothing quite as beautiful as the blush of innocence. There's nothing quite as beautiful as the look of innocence and the look of a godly Christian woman. Naomi bore the marks of sin. They said, "Is this Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Because Naomi means pleasant, and I'm no longer pleasant. She said, "Call me Mara," which means bitter. Because I'm now a bitter woman, stained because of sin and with the results of sin. There was a place named Mara in the Bible, which means bitter. A place with a fountain of bitter water. It was a place where nobody liked to go. And by the way, you'll have a hard time finding any place in this world named Mara to this day. Mara was an undesirable place. Mara was a place of bitterness, and it was that place when the Jews got there, the water was so bitter that they cut down a tree. God led them to cut down a tree and threw that tree in the water, and it made the water sweet. Nobody went to Mara on a vacation. Nobody went to Mara on Memorial Day weekend. Mara was a place where people shunned. Let me tell you about another place. Elim. E-L-I-M. Elim was the vacation spot. It was the place that you went on Memorial Day weekend. It was the Palm Springs, or the Palm Beach, or the Hawaii. It was the beautiful spot. The Bible says there were 12 springs of water, or if you please, 12 fountains of water. The Bible says there were 70 beautiful palm trees in this little place called Elim. By the way, it was also fringed with beautiful trees, mostly evergreen trees. It was where you'd like to take your family for the weekend. By the way, there are a lot of places named Elim. You'll find Elim Baptist churches all over America. You'll find Christian rest homes called Elim, Home for the Aged. You'll find Christian resorts called Elim Christian Resort. I know places made for preachers where preachers can go and get away from it all and unwind a little bit, drink a little beer and things like that. This house is not going there tomorrow. But you'll find places like that that are named Elim Retreat. Thousands of places named Elim. Hardly any place named Mara. Interesting thing about these two places, and here's the sermon, is the distance between them. It's a long ways between Indiana Harbor and Hawaii. They look alike, but it's a long ways. It's a long ways between Chicago ghettos and West Palm Beach. Or Palm Beach. But between this pitiful, bitter place called Mara and this beautiful vacation spot called Elim were 7 miles. 7 miles. Considered less than a day's journey. Now, the Israelites did not know that. They came on their journey across the Red Sea. Their first encampment, or stop, if you please, after they crossed the Red Sea, was Marah. They did not know that 7 miles down the road was Elam. As they were drinking this bitter water, they didn't know there were fresh fountains 7 miles down the road. As they were living in this place of bitterness and undesirable accommodations, they did not know that 7 short miles down the second encampment place of the Jews after they crossed the Red Sea on their way to Canaan, the second encampment place was Elam. Many a student has quit in Marah when Elam was 7 miles down the road. Many a young person has said, I can't take it anymore. I'm bitter. These are bitter waters to taste. I can't stand it here in Marah. I'm going to go back to Egypt. When Elam was 7 miles down the road. I could stand here tonight and I could tell you the names of hundreds of preachers in these years whom I've known who faced tough times. I could name 5 right now that tonight were afraid to walk in their pulpits. I could name 5 preachers that I know well, and some of them went to this church or from this church. And numbers of them, some of them from Howells Anderson College. They're tasting the bitter waters of opposition. They're tasting the bitter waters tonight of heartbreak. They're tasting the bitter waters tonight of a church that stand precariously at the edge of a cliff. They're facing the bitter waters tonight of personal heartbreak. And numbers of the preachers in America, hundreds of them I've known through these years, have gotten to Marah and stopped and drunk the bitter waters and said, I can't take it anymore. What they didn't know was Marah was only 7 miles from Elam. Now, what's the answer? How are we to know, they say? How are we to know that 7 miles down the road? We don't have a road map. Didn't have road maps in those days. Didn't have any tourist guides in those days. How are we to know? Didn't have any newspapers in those days. Didn't have any television sets or radios. How are we to know? We're making our journey. This is virgin territory. We're going through a country we've never known before. How are we to know that 7 miles down the road there's a paradise like Elam? How are we to know? You don't have to know, but the secret is keep on following that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. God said to His people, He said, I'll direct you. I'll lead you. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God never leaves anybody to stay in Marah. Just down the road. Just down the road, there's Elam. Many a Christian has given up in Marah when Elam was just down the road. So I'm saying tonight, just keep on going. Are you in Marah tonight? Keep on going. Are the waters bitter to your taste? Keep on going. Are there no springs of waters that give you refreshment? Keep on going. Don't turn back. Don't go back to Egypt. It's never God's will to go back. Keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. I knew heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. You're not going to pass through Marah by sitting there in Marah and complaining. And you're not going to pass through Marah by going back to Egypt because you're going to have to go through Marah the next time you take the trip. The best thing to do is while you're in suffering, keep on going. Keep on going, Brother Ray. When your father's taken, keep on going, Mrs. Hiles. When your brother's taken, keep on going, Brother Wolf, when you've got your family broken up. Keep on going, McCurdy's, when your little baby boy is in the vegetative stage. Just keep on going. God leads His dear children along. 7 miles. Talking to people right now, thinking about quitting. You don't understand that Elam is just 7 miles down the road. Second thing I want to say to you is this. Not only is Elam 7 miles down the road, but second, you can go from Marah to Elam anytime you choose to. You sit with the house, I'm living in bitterness. I'm discouraged, angry, have vengeance, disgruntled, critical, backslidden. That's because you're living in bitterness. Hey, get out of Marah. Go on up to Elam. Quit being bitter. Quit being critical. Quit complaining. Quit being a disgruntled person. Quit sitting there with that stare on your face that comes to people that are disgruntled and unhappy, and you can spot them just like that. I mean, don't live there in Elam, in Marah. Elam is just 7 miles away, and you can go to Elam anytime you want to go to Elam. You say, what's the way to Elam? Elam is as near as the nearest shut-in. You want to lose your bitterness? Leave Marah? Where is Elam? Elam is in the rest home. When you go to the rest home and you sit there beside the bed of somebody who's been forgotten, and boy, one of the tragic things of this world is how on holidays like this, we eat and drink, be merry, and live it up and have our fun while people are rotting in rest homes all over the world. In God's name, get out of your self-pity. Cancel your pity party. Get over your bitterness and get out of Marah. Go down to Elam. It's just down the street from where you live today. Where is Elam? Elam is right down here at St. Margaret's Hospital. Where is Elam? Elam is in the ghettos of Chicago. Where is Elam? Elam is on the bus route. Let me say a word here. Do you know what happens? You know, you don't get right with God at the altar. Don't miss this. This is good. You don't get right with God at the altar. You make a decision at the altar to get right with God. You come down the altar and you kneel here at the altar and say, Lord, take this bitterness out of my heart. Take it out, take it out. Take this disgruntledness out of my heart. Take this negative attitude. Take this critical nature out of my heart. And you expect God to do it. No, what you do at the altar is, you can't get to Elam on your knees here. But on your knees, bless God, you can decide to go to Elam. You don't get right with God because you're here at the altar. You decide to do the things that will get you right with God. And if you want to get that frown off your face and put a smile in his place, you want to get that look off your face and get a joy of God on your face again, and if you want to get the joy of God in your heart again and get your critical spirit out and your bitterness out and your depression out and discouragement out and disillusionment out, just go to Elam. Oh, how can I get this vengeance out of my heart? How can I get this bitterness out of my heart? How can I get this being disgruntled out of my heart? How can I get this depression out of my heart? Go to Elam. What you say, brother? Oh, but God, take it out. God's not going to take it out. Elam is going to take it out. I always think of Mrs. Stinson when I think of this. Mrs. Stinson, years ago, one of the ladies that was here when I became pastor of this church, and a lovely middle-aged lady. In fact, she grew old in the early days of my ministry here. A lot of folks grew old within a week after I came here. But I am. She grew old. I'm guessing, in her 50s when I got here. Miss Stinson's in heaven tonight. Can I forget that day? By the way, she was a lovely lady. She played the organ, played the piano. A talented lady. Beautiful white hair. She came to my office one day or night, and she said, Pastor, and she's shaking just like this. I mean, with almost like palsy. And she said, Pastor, can you help me, please? And I said, yes, ma'am, I can. What's the trouble? She said, I think I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. She was just trembling. And I said, what's the deal? Oh, she said, Pastor, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Can you help me? I said, yes, ma'am, I can. And by the way, I can help you too. She said, what can I do? I said, go home, bake some cookies. Cookies will make anybody feel better. especially got chocolate chip inside of them. With a few little walnuts mixed in with the chocolate chip. In fact, I just thinking about it took me to Elam from Marah. Praise God. I want to thank God tonight. I don't live in Marah. I want to thank God tonight. I live in Elam. And I said, bake some cookies. She said, what's baking cookies got to do with my nervous breakdown? I said, take them to some deaf person. Or better still, some hearing person in Munster. But I said, she said, well, what's taking cookies to a deaf person got to do with minor friend? I said, the next day, bake a cake. Take it to one of these blind people in our church and sit there and encourage them like you did the deaf person yesterday. And the next day, get a dozen roses, go to St. Margaret's Hospital, and go up and down the hallway and find somebody that has no visitors during visiting hours, walk in, give them a rose, put it in a little vase somewhere, and sit there and encourage their hearts. Then the next day, go to some rest home and sit there and encourage them. I said, I just don't think that's going to help my nervous breakdown. I said, I'm the doctor, you're the patient. Get out of here, go bake in some cookies, bake a cake, get some roses, go to the hospital, go to the deaf, go to the blind. She walked out. She said, I just don't think that's going to help my nervous breakdown. Every lady I know is having a nervous breakdown, or just got over one, or is planning one as soon as she can work it into her schedule. Several months passed. I didn't see Mrs. Stinson. One day I was walking down the office hallway toward the door, and I bumped into this lady. I mean smack dab, bumped into her. Looked up, and it's Mrs. Stinson. She's coming toward the office hallway. I was coming down the office hallway, and we bumped into each other. And, of course, you know me, I like to have fun. And I said, Mrs. Stinson, we've got to quit meeting like this. She turned to walk away. She wouldn't talk to me. She'd been avoiding me for months. She saw me. She'd turn and go the other way. I said, hold it, Mrs. Stinson. Hold it. Stop right there. You're going to face me now. I said, what happened to your nervous breakdown? She said, well, after I baked the cookies, baked the cake, the roses at St. Mark's Hospital, I called it off. Backracker, you can call yours off, too. I'm saying, you folks living tonight in morrow in self-pity and depression and discouragement and disillusionment and bitterness and complaining and griping, I'm saying, you can decide to go to Elam anytime you want to decide to go to Elam. 7 miles down the road. When I find myself getting close to morrow, I rush to Elam in a hurry. I've time and time again sitting in motel rooms and a little lonely and blue and wishing I was home. I've gotten just a little feeling of self-pity, and I mean, as soon as I do it, brother, I grab my coat and take off outside, go out in the street and look for somebody who's down. I mean, morrow is as near as those street people that were sitting up there this morning. Elam is as near as those deaf people back there. Elam is as near as those rescue mission men up there. Elam is as near as those bus kids. But some of you people live for yourself. You don't think about anybody else. You never go down to the down and outer. You don't know what it's like to be around the discouraged, the lonely. Only time you ever go to the funeral home is if somebody like Mrs. Hiles or Brother Wardway has lost a loved one. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, please don't misunderstand me. I've prayed for this man. I love this man with all of my heart. And that's my wife there. And I've prayed for her and for God to encourage her. But I want to tell you something. That little gal at the rest home, when she dies, that's just as precious in the sight of God as when your mother or father or my mother passed away. I mean, people in the ghettos, they hurt when their children are in sin. And they hurt when they don't have any food to feed their children. I'm saying, you people, we are ours. And that's the bitter crowd. And that's the complaint. Oh, you say prove it. Okay, and ask a question. You're disgruntled tonight. You've been critical tonight. Something's caused you to peeve you a little bit. Ask a question. You have a bus route? Ask you a question. Have you been to the rest home in the last year to see somebody that you don't know? Let me ask you a question. Have you taken food to feed a poor family in the last month? See, your problem is not the fact that things aren't suiting you. Your problem is that you're living in Mara. You're living in bitterness. You're living in depression. You're living in disillusionment. In God's name, you don't have to live there. 7 little miles down the road, there's a haven. Number one, Elam is only 7 miles on forward. By the way, Elam wasn't backward. God didn't say, follow the cloud. And God didn't say, I'm going to take you back to where Elam is. No, sir, Elam's always forward. Elam is never going home and quitting. Elam is never stopping your class or quitting your bus route. Elam is never going backward. Elam is always going forward. Mara is behind you. Elam is in front of you. Now listen carefully. Not only is Elam just 7 miles down the road to keep on following the will of God. Not only is Elam a place you can choose to go to any time you want to. Oh, Brother Hiles, I'm just living under circumstances. Get out from under those stupid circumstances and get on top of them and walk on top of them and go out yonder where Elam is, where people need you. I promise you, if you'll give your life to other people and forget yourself, I promise you, you'll be happy. Nobody ever has gotten happy thinking about himself. Nobody ever has got happy living for himself. Nobody ever has got happy with his little feelings getting there. I think I'm not being treated right. Well, bless God, treat somebody else right then. By the way, number three, Morrow is as close. Hear this now. Morrow is just as close to Elam as Elam is to Morrow. 7 miles from your discouragement tonight and your hurt feelings and your being defeated. It's 7 miles from your disillusionment. It's 7 miles from your critical spirit. It's 7 miles from your depression. It's 7 miles from your self-pity to a beautiful, beautiful place called Elam, of happiness and springs of water and joy and the blessings of Almighty God. But it's also 7 miles from Elam back to Morrow. It's just as far as one little retaliation. I'm talking to people tonight who lived in Elam, but you're back in Mara. Why? Somebody got mad at you. Somebody said something about you, and you won't speak to them now. Isn't that a... Aren't you proud of yourself? Aren't you proud that you are so stubborn and so much of a Pharisee that you won't speak to somebody who that you think has hurt you? What you've done, you're just as close to Mara from leaving Elam and going to Mara as one little hurt feeling. One little retaliation is all it takes to go from Elam to Mara. One little temptation. One little mistreatment of your child at school. Oh. Look at me. I wonder how many people in this church have gone from joy and thrill and blessing and victory and happiness to Mara because somebody mistreated my child. Now, you listen carefully. I don't know what they did for your child, but it'll never harm your child as much as your bad spirit will. I don't know what that teacher did that was so bad that hurt your child, but I'll promise you that your attitude and your spirit toward that teacher will do your child more harm than all the harm that that teacher has done to your child. I was talking to a lady a few months ago. She was up in arms about her child's school teacher at the grade school. She said, well, she just loses her patience. She had two children beside her. Two. And they began to misbehave. You kids sit still! Whack! I said, what if you had 30? Folks, I'm trying to tell you that the best Christian in this room only lives 7 miles from Mara. The happiest person in this room is just less than a day's journey from Mara. I'm saying just as you can choose to go to Elam from Mara if you want to, you can just as quickly go backward those 7 miles, and a happy, joyous, victorious child of God can become a citizen of Mara just like that. Hey, don't do it! One thing you don't like at church, one thing can take you from Elam to Mara just like that. One statement in a sermon that you don't like can take you in just that much time from Elam to Mara. And you'll show that preacher, you'll backslide and wreck your life and wreck your kid's life, and then he'll be sorry. Would you mind me calling you an idiot? Since you're going to get mad and leave anyway, I think I'll tell you what you really are while you leave. How foolish you are! I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen,
You have a choice. You can live on top side or bottom side. You can live on the Drury Road or the Gory Road.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, sure. You can live shouting or griping. You can use praising or raising Cain. You can live where you want to live. But praise God, whether you live in Mara or Edom has nothing to do with your circumstances in life. It only has to do with where you choose to live.
Thinking of a preacher. He's about my age. I've known him since we were both young. If I call the name of the happiest preacher I knew 30 years ago or 35 years ago, if I call the name of the happiest preacher I knew, I'd call that man's name. Always on top side, always laughing. Took a little head, started a church out in the country. Built that church to running 2,000 people in Sunday school. Always on top side. What a testimony. What a smile. What a preacher. What optimism. What joy. What a man. I went to his church one time and I noticed something was wrong. He complained to me on the way to the airport. He criticized his deacons. I was watching these deacons coming down the aisle a while ago and watching those up there. And I said to myself, those men have got to be the finest men in the whole world. I cut up about deacons an awful lot, but I'll guarantee you one thing. In the 35 years I've been here, I've not gone around the country criticizing the deacons of my church. But this guy, some deacon, had done him wrong. He thought. And he got bitter. And that look, you always see it. That same old look that you don't smile. I can spot it just like that. I can stand up here on the platform and look out and see people I know are in Mara. I can see people that used to shake their head and say amen and have the joy of God. But one little thing you don't like, but you're not God. You don't know what's always right and wrong. And the tragedy is, you always take somebody with you tomorrow. And usually you take good people with you. I'm thinking about a man in Texas who sat in my choir. He was in the bass section. We used to have some good bass singers down there. He sat in my choir in Texas. While I'd preach, he'd laugh. He wouldn't say amen. He wouldn't say praise. He'd laugh. He'd get happy. A bunch of folks get saved. He'd he'd laugh. One day I was preaching and I noticed his laugh was missing. I turned to watch him in the bass section. I saw that look. Any preacher in the world can tell you what it's like. I was at a church recently preaching, and the pastor told me, he said, my deacon chairman has caused me trouble. I did not know his deacon chairman, but that night with 400 people in that room, I was in the back during the first sermon. Dr. Gibbs was preaching. I was back in the back of the auditorium waiting to preach. And from the back of their heads, I spotted the guy. I didn't know who he was. I saw his bald head wrinkle. And I walked on the platform and I said to the pastor, you got a man back there in a certain place, about the third row from the back, on that side, that man's the disgruntled. He said, that's the chairman of the deacon's been causing him trouble. See, you can tell by the look on your face whether you're living in Mara or Elam. I can tell you one of the sweetest men I ever met in my life that got a little disgruntled about something. And that optimistic look is off his face. That warm, sweet spirit's gone. I can tell you about a lady used to go to this church. One thing happened at the school. One thing she didn't appreciate. Now, there have been tens of thousands of things that she lacked. One thing. And by the way, this church kept on going when she left. But the honest, simple truth is, she took herself out of this church because of one thing she didn't like at the schools. Well, good night. You don't like a school, don't quit the church. I mean, send your kid to the Catholic school. You might like it there. Maybe Father Beelzebub would be better to you than we are. But I mean, this is First Baptist Church.
just because you don't like Teacher Lucy Joe. This is still the same. I don't teach at the school. Don't get mad at me. But you say, Brother Hines, that upsets you? It upsets me not because I lose people. It upsets me because I lose their tithe. Hey, help me. I got to get back to Elam. I'm down in Mara all of a sudden. No, sir. It hurts me because I love that lady. I want her to live in Elam. I want her to have the joy of God on her face instead of that look of discontentment and that look of complaining and that critical look. I'm saying in God's name, you're not hurt. Hey, Waterloo, I'll show you. I'll just leave Elam and go to Mara, and then you'll be sorry. You need to have your head examined. Is that a replace? You didn't have a brain transplant. You like the kid that gets mad at his parents and butts his head against the wall. I'll show my mama. I mean, you don't know nobody lives upstairs in your house. The light's wrong, but nobody's home. The cheese is falling out of your sandwich. Praise God, I want to tell you something now. You ain't going to cause me to go tomorrow. Criticize you all you want to. I live in Elam. Say what you want to say about me. Bless God, I live in Elam. I know one thing. I know that everybody in this room is a potential transfer tomorrow. It's only 7 miles away. I know a man who was an evangelist. Preacher of Bibles all over the South. A man owed him some money. That man worked in a tavern. This evangelist walked into that tavern one day to collect that money. But before this evangelist was saved, he had been an alcoholic or had been on liquor. He smelled the smell. He visited Mara. All he did was go to Mara to collect some money that a Mara citizen owed him. He sat down and waited till the guy could come out and pay him. And while he did, the odor of the smell of the beer and the liquor got the best of him. He took one drink. He ended up a derelict, an alcoholic, out of the ministry, out of church, out of the will of God. Why? Because he didn't realize that Mara was just across the street. 7 miles down the road. I want to testify and I'll be through. I've lived in Mara only 6 months of my life. In 1957, I moved down to Mara and I got feeling sorry for myself. I got bitter. I'd say some things in my sermons I shouldn't say. I felt like God had dealt me a bad hand. I'm trying to talk your language now. I felt like God had placed a cloud over me, and that cloud followed me everywhere, and I blamed God. And I got bitter at people that had done me wrong. And vengeance came into my heart for 6 months. Those are the only 6 months of my ministry my churches haven't flourished. Said, what did you do? I was in Garland, Texas. One day I realized that I was living in Mara, and Elam was 7 miles down the road. I went over to the ghetto section of Garland. Didn't have much ghetto there. But there's one ghetto section of Garland over on the east side of town. And I went over there and decided that I was going to spend a month doing nothing but soul winning in that ghetto section of Garland. Brother, I had knocked on 3 doors till I was back in Elam again. Had my shout back. Had my joy back. Had my smile back. Had my thrill back. Had my excitement back. Hey, you're not hurting anybody but yourself. Those of us who are in Elam, we're still having a ball. I mean, a good time. We're not having a ball is something bad. But we're having a ball. I'm a good time. I mean, you're not hurting us any. I mean, we live in Elam. We live where the milk and the honey flow. The grapes of Vesco grow. We live the place of 12 springs and 70 palm trees, lined, fenced by evergreens.
We live there. And yet some of you have gone back to tomorrow. It's only, you folks that are there, it's only 7 miles up the road. Keep on going. Going through trials, keep on going. Going through burdens, keep on going. Being tested, keep on going. Have heartaches, keep on going. I mean, that cloud that's going to lead you is representing the Holy Spirit who will lead you down. Keep on going. You say, I'm not in Mara. I would say, I'm not in Mara. They say to me, I love you, but... And they got that billy goat religion. They butt me to death for about a half hour. I love First Baptist Church. But the honest truth is, it's your face and not mine. Praise God. It's your frown and not mine. I'll quit with this. I quit with something a while ago, but I'll quit with this, and I'll quit with something else after a while. 42 years ago. No, 42 years ago. Mrs. Hiles and I went to the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. We had the same kind of church we have here, but smaller. Started off at 44 people. Grew to hundreds and hundreds, and finally several thousand members in 6 years and 8 months. In that church, her brother and his wife, who had never been real faithful to church, they grew up in Hillcrest Baptist Church. We grew up, but they'd never been inner circle people. They'd gone to church on Sunday morning, sometimes Sunday night, but never inner circle people. Well, we came to Garland. They loved me, and they came to our church and became very faithful. And Mrs. Howes, his brother, became a soul winner. He became the superintendent of one of our junior departments. I was doubly blessed because my sister and her family likewise had not been inner circle people in church, and my sister became faithful. And she likewise became a departmental superintendent in our church in Garland. This last Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, news came that Ms. Howes' brother was dying. He had 7 days to live, less than 7 days to live. We flew down Thursday. I used a couple of my freebie tickets from all the miles I've flown, and we flew down Thursday. We call him Buddy. There was Buddy lying there. Played first base on our ball team. Member of our church, 7 years, active member. I was 6 years and 8 months I was there. On his deathbed. He heard my voice. I called him every day. Every day I called him. And whenever he had strength to answer the phone, I'd always cut up with him. I called him the other day and I said, "This is your good-looking brother-in-law." And he said, "Didn't know I had one." We walked in. He heard our voices. His head turned slowly. And a big old smile came across his face. I talked to him a while in front of the people. And then after a while, I talked to him. A while alone. Always told him I loved him when I'd call him on the phone. Always did. We went a little while out to the waiting room, and his wife was there, Helen. Helen, of course, they called me Jack because I'm in the family. She said, "Jack," I cut up with her some, and you know what a wonderful personality I have. "What are you laughing about?" But I cut up with her some, like I'm doing right now. And then she said, "Jack, you have no idea how much we miss that." She said, "We miss the days when going to church was fun. When you were here and it was fun to go to church." What she was saying was, "We miss Elam. We miss Elam." Where are you living tonight? Life mistreated you. Folks hurt your little feelings.
somebody has done you wrong? Discouraged, bitter at God, backslidden, depressed, disillusioned? I got some good news for you. You folks are drinking bitter waters. There are sweet waters 7 miles up the road. You folks that are taking fruit, sitting neath the shade of trees that bear no fruit, there are palm trees, 70 palm trees just up the road. You folks are living in heartache and disillusionment. There's joy, happiness, victory, shouts, praise, joy, excitement, thrills, wonder. 7 miles up the road. And you folks are living tonight in Elam. Be careful. A lot of you hanging around the city limit sign of Mara tonight. You say, how do you get out of Mara? Go to the rest home tomorrow. Go to the hospital tomorrow. Find somebody hungry and feed them tomorrow. Find somebody discouraged and encourage them tomorrow. Where are you living tonight? Where are you living? If you're living in Mara, it's 7 miles away. It's paradise. Ask you a question. I'll close. And ask you a question. Now, I'm not being unkind to Indiana Harbor, but it is not the scenic spot of the world. It's the arm. But anyway. Let's suppose tonight. Now, listen carefully. Let's suppose Indiana Harbor were 7 miles from Honolulu. I mean, here's Hawaii, and here is Indiana Harbor. And it didn't cost any more to live here than to live here. Where would you live? You'd choose Hawaii. That is a sense. That's exactly the choice you have tonight. You can live in victory, joy, excitement, thrills, blessings, praises, and glory. Or you can live bitter, misery, unhappiness, depressed, self-pity. Take a choice. But I want to remind you, they're just 7 miles apart. Our Heavenly Father,